Look, it's great to be with you today and to be able to worship together. I've got to say, I never take for granted the gifting that God has here and the way people are prepared to use their gifts. And look, the music team are fantastic, aren't they? And I just reckon it's great to just acknowledge them. And to be able to hear the sharing today, and it's fantastic. So before we go any further, I'd like to just lead us now in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you are here by your Spirit right now. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together will be acceptable in your sight, that your Holy Spirit will continue to speak to us and lead us into all truth and understanding. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today I've been asked, actually, because sometimes as a preacher, you know, you can have a free rein within limits. But Jonathan, our senior pastor, asked me to preach about faith and work. And so this is something which is dear to my heart. And so I want to share, I guess, three key things which I believe the Bible has to say about this issue of work. And it's pretty important, you know, because first of all, I want to say that when I say work, I'm not necessarily just talking about paid work. There's a whole bunch of people here who do work where you get paid. There's a whole bunch of other people who do work where you don't get paid. And there's some people who work part-time, and there's some people who work shift work. So work covers a whole variety of issues, and I want to try and take it in the broadest perspective. But the reason why work is pretty important to talk about in a Christian service, if you like, is that a lot of us spend a very large amount of time at a thing called work. And in Australia, we have this thing where I've noticed in the workplace that on Monday, people tend to reflect on what occurred on the weekend. What did you get up to? What did you do on the weekend? And Tuesday, it tapers off a bit, but it's still a bit of a talk about, you know, a post-mortem of the weekend. Wednesday is a bit of a difficulty because you're between, you're midway. And so I noticed that a phrase has entered into the lexicon. People talk about a thing called hump day. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but you get to radio announcers often talk about today it's Wednesday, it's hump day, because you're in that hump between Monday and Friday. You've got to Wednesday. Thursday, people start to move towards what are you going to do on the weekend? And Friday, it intensifies. What are your plans? What have you got up to? And then you go through the weekend. So we have this very interesting thing where Australia, we seem to bookend the weekends with this whole discussion about work. Some of us spend a very large amount of time at work. And so what has the Bible got to say about work? Well, quite a lot, actually. And I want to, and the first thing I want to share, and I don't necessarily often hear a big amen about this, but the first thing I want to share is that God created people to work. Amen. Yeah, there it is. See, Grant Topham, totally spontaneous. But let's have a look, and it's always interesting when you look at something really fundamental like this. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 1. So if you have a Bible with you, whether it be a hard copy, dare I say, or an electronic version, or you can even look on the screen. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Now, I think for many of us, we have heard many times this verse. God has created us in his image. And of course, it's quite an attractive proposition when you think about things like love. So God is love, the Bible says, and so we're created and we're structured to be loved and to love other people. And that's quite an easy thing to talk about, really, and to accept and to say amen to. But perhaps a more significant thing that we haven't talked about much is that God is a worker. God is a worker. The Bible talks about in Genesis 1 that God laboured for 6 days creating the world, and on the seventh day he rested. But God is still working. God is still working out his purposes. The kingdom of God is coming into this world. God is powerfully moving by his Holy Spirit, and God's in the business of work. So if we are created in the image of God and God is a worker, we are created to be workers. Amen? Yeah, it's a muted amen, I know, because many of us have this idea about work, to be honest, as a bit of a drudgery, as a bit of a thing we have to endure between weekends, as a bit of a thing just to pay the bills. But no, the Bible's got something more profound to say, that at its heart, we are called to be workers. But not workers for ourselves, but workers for God. And it totally changes our mindset about how we think about work. But fundamentally, we are created, excuse me, I was at a late night event at Adelaide Oval. That's worth an amen. And and I have slightly strained my voice. That's my excuse anyway. But fundamentally, we are called to work. So if you look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. The Lord God took the man, this is Adam, put him in the Garden of Eden, not just to smell the flowers, not just to smell the roses, as we often say, but put him in the Garden of Eden, what? To work it and take care of it. So the first human being, Adam, his job was to be a gardener, was to work, not just to sit around and have a good time, And enjoy have a part in perhaps naming some animals and smelling the aromas of the plants. But no, Adam was called to work in the garden because God is a worker and we're created in the image of God. Let's fast forward now into the New Testament in the book of Colossians, which also because the New Testament has a lot to say about work as well. So in Colossians chapter 3, and verse 23, we read this. And this is really worth taking note of. Whatever you do, in the context of work, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So this strikes at the very heart of what our attitude should be for work. Is it something that we just endure from Monday to Friday? Although if you're a shift worker, then you're doing all sorts of unusual hours. Or is it something far deeper and far more profound? Whatever you do, do it with all your heart as for the Lord. And I've got to say, folks, if you look carefully at the book of Colossians, and this could be a little bit of homework, if you read the before and after of this verses, the context of which Paul is writing to, the particular people who he's addressing here, they're actually slaves. They're slaves. So it's not just a nice, easy job they might have chosen to match their skills and abilities. No, these people are slaves. And yet God is saying to them, through the Apostle Paul, work at it with all your heart. As for the Lord. So we are called to be workers because God is a worker, because we're created in the image of God. And when we're called to work, we're actually called to work as for the Lord. So tomorrow morning, when the alarm goes off, we can have a couple of different approaches. Oh no. What? How could it be Monday already? How could this have happened to me? Or converse, it's Monday and it's another 5 days before I get to the weekend. No. We're called to work as for the Lord and to do it with all our heart. Because God is a worker. So that's the first thing. God has created us to be people to work. But secondly, I want to say God calls us not to just a job, but he calls us to a whole life. And I say that because there is an extreme position you can take about work, and that is you can sort of be so obsessed about it that it completely consumes your life, all your waking hours and sometimes even your sleeping hours, because you're thinking about it all the time. And so you can actually be a workaholic. Now, I'm not advocating that today. I'm not saying that God is calling people to be workaholics, because work needs to have its proper place. But when we talk about a job or work, we can have a couple of different views. We can have what I call a low view. And the low view is that it's just a job. My work is just a job, just to pay the bills, just to sort of, get some food on the table and to ensure that I've got enough electricity to warm the house and to run the car with fuel. Fortune Fuels, it's 10-year lowest at the moment, so time to fuel up your car. But, you know, whatever it is, I've just got a job to pay some bills. That's the low view of work. But I don't believe that's the Christian view. We're called to be workers because we're created in the image of God. We're called to have what I believe the Bible talks about, well, what implies is a thing called a vocation. A vocation. It's something, a vocation, the root word of vocation is to be called. A vocation is something you're called to. Now, in the Catholic tradition, it talks about Catholic priests having the vocation of being a priest. But as Christians, we are called to have a vocation, not just a job, not just something to endure, not just something to pay a bill, but no, we're called to have a vocation. God calls us to work. And it's actually a gifting. It's not just something we endure. It's actually a high view, and it's a calling to God. Because calling is really important. You know, everyone is called. There's a primary calling which is across all people of this whole planet. And that is, we are called out of darkness into light. We are called to have a relationship with God. Have a look at Romans chapter 1, verse 6. In the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says to the church at Rome, "And you also are among these Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ." So that is the primary calling. Not just to a job, but we're actually called to be in relationship with God. And that is a universal calling. That goes right out for all of history. We are called to be in a relationship with God. But when God calls us, he not only just calls us to be in relationship with God, he also calls us to serve him, to be in the vocation for him. And so often, folks, I think we have this idea that there are some vocations or some things which are a higher calling, which somehow or other we put up on a pedestal. I don't believe in pedestals. I don't believe in them. I think that it's all level ground at the foot of the cross. And it's not this special calling for some people and other people are just enduring a job. No, no, no. God calls us to serve him, and these callings are valid. Doesn't matter whether you're a policeman, that Steve talked about in the first service. We heard a bloke who's a lawyer. There's people who are homemakers. There are people who are, dare I say it, salesmen, selling medical products. Just I chose it at random. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Yeah, thank you for that. Or even engineers. Another one I just chose at random. You know, for those who don't know, I happen to be a civil engineer by profession, and engineers. There's a few engineers here. Hands up those who are engineers. I know there's a couple. There's a half hand that went up like that. Maybe you're studying to be an engineer, but, you know, it doesn't matter. The calling is just as valid. But yet, folks, we have this idea that somehow or other there's a special calling, and those people have become professional Christian workers. And this is no reflection on professional Christian workers, because they're very important. They're called by God. But God's calling is not just to professional Christian workers. God calls us all to a vocation, and those vocations are equally valid. So I want to say, you're not just doing a job, folks. You're working for God. You should do it with your whole heart, and God calls you to that. Amen. This is really important, because we spend most of our time in a job, if you like, working. And we've got to understand that the kingdom of God is not just something that exists on Sunday for an hour and a half, if this service goes for a long time. No, the kingdom of God is something that pervades our whole lives and the whole world. There's not a distinction between the spiritual on a Sunday and the secular on during the week. I don't believe in the spiritual and the secular. I believe that the kingdom of God covers all aspects of our lives, whether it be on a weekend or during the week. God is in the purpose of using us for his kingdom. Amen? He calls us to that. He calls each one of us to that. And if you don't know that, you better get on board, because God wants to use you in the work of his kingdom. Oh, dear. So, My third point is that we need to see work not as a drudgery, but as a calling, and we need to see work as an opportunity to serve Christ. Come with me to the book of Matthew chapter 5. In book of Matthew chapter 5, this is what's often called the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is giving some outstanding teachings to the people, incredibly profound. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, I'll start at verse 13, we read this. And Jesus has just given some teaching about what we now call the Beatitudes. And he's talking about two interesting things, salt and light. And Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. So we have these two contrasting things here, salt and light. Now, salt is interesting because it only requires a very small amount of salt to make a difference, doesn't it? In fact, if you actually overdo it, you know, you can actually, it can really affect the whole flavour of things. And it was interesting hearing about Steve and his testimony. I hope you don't mind me repeating it, Steve. Thank you, because it's a great thing, because the I can keep on going now. Because there was Steve in that meeting. Was that just a fluke that he was there? No. God's called Steve to be a policeman, to be a sergeant, a senior sergeant, to be in that role. And there he was in this meeting, the most junior officer, and I've got to say, I've been in some meetings where you're not necessarily the most senior person there, but there was an incredible opportunity to say a few words, and the difference that made, that Encounter School is now this wonderful thing where every year it's just going gangbusters. What would have happened if Steve hadn't been there? I mean, but the salt, he made a huge difference by a few words, because God placed him there to be salt. That's how this plays out in practice. And God has placed you in your workplace to be salt. Now, I'm not saying that you... And as a young Christian, I remember when I was studying and I was about to enter the workplace, I sort of had this idea that, oh, when I become in the workplace, I've got to be able to, you know, sort of give a testimony every second day, and I've got to be able to come up with what was then called the four spiritual laws and sort of, you know, generally be this huge converting influence around me. No, that could sometimes can be too salty. And that can actually have a bit of an impact upon your workplace, and you can sort of lose a bit of credibility, I've got to say. So there's some wisdom required here and some astuteness, but we're called to be salt, and we can make a huge difference. We're also called to be light. Well, what does light do? Light overcomes darkness. Light provides insight. Light provides illumination. And wherever you are, if you're the salt of the light of the world, you can have a huge impact upon the darkness that's there, because there is darkness there. And the truth is that the vast majority of Australians are not going to come into a church building. They're not going to. But Christians are scattered throughout the whole of Australia, and where we are, we're called to be salt and light, to serve Christ in whatever that is, to make a difference, if you like, to mix the metaphor, to bloom where you're planted. It's not just a fluke that you're in this workplace. It's not just an accident. But God's called you to a vocation, and we're called to bloom where we're planted. We're called to be salt and light. And it's a tremendous opportunity. It's also challenging. It's also scary. It's confronting. It's all those things that Steve was sharing. And many people could have the same sort of testimony. But what a privilege it is to serve Christ where we are, to do that work as though we're working for the Lord, to do it with our whole heart, to make a difference for the kingdom of God, to be salt and to be light. But it raises a few quick questions, well, questions which I need to address quickly. For example, how do you know what's the right job? What's the right vocation? Particularly relevant to a number of folk here who might be just moving into the workplace. Well, I think there's a few tests, and one test is a bit of an obvious one, is that I wouldn't advocate moving into a vocation which tends to be fairly destructive. I don't mean destructive in the sense of knocking down things, knocking down buildings, but I'm talking about destructive in the sense of has a negative impact upon people. So, like, for example, you know, to be a sort of a professional bank robber would not be a vocation that God would be calling you to. It's pretty obvious because it doesn't actually help, you know, the work of the kingdom. So that's pretty clear. You can sort of eliminate certain occupations because I'm not going to be part of the kingdom of God. But what would be nice and desirable is if you could actually match the passions and the skills and ability with a particular role. And, you know, we just take that for granted that that's a possibility in the Western world and in Australia. But in past history and in many other parts of the world, people never had a choice when it came to work. You know, in old ancient times, you had about three main occupations. You could either be a slave, not many people chose that. You could be a slave, be a farmer, and this is no reflection on farmers. Farmers are very important, and amen to farmers. Or a homemaker. But that was just about it, really. That was about the way it was. You were dealt those cards, so to speak. But no, we have a great privilege and opportunity to be able to have a huge number of choices. Sometimes the choices can be a little bit overwhelming. But we can actually see, look at our passions and skills and look at a vocation and pray to God that there might be this matching there. And then the Bible has this great promise in Psalm 37 that God will give the desires of our hearts. And so God knows the desires of our hearts. God knows what we want. And it's just a beautiful thing that God leads us in that way. But can I say, folks, that sometimes we don't always make the best choices. Dare I say it. Sometimes we make mistakes. And, you know, the Christian life is not like this blueprint that's sort of pre-planned, that every step you take is preordained, so that if you actually make the wrong choice and somehow or other get off the blueprint, that's the end of it and God can't use you. I think some people have this idea that, oh, heck, I mucked it up about 3 years ago. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have taken that job. Oh, well, that's all over now. You know, no. God gives us freedom, but he also gives us that freedom means we're actually free to fail. And that is good news, because I tell you what, unless you haven't realised it yet, there are going to become points in your life where you make some bad choices and you are going to fail. That's the reality. But Christians are free to fail. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And God uses us and sometimes uses the crazy things that we do for the work of his glory. So don't get the idea that if you make some choice and you muck it up, that's the end of the world. No. God loves us. He has his hand upon us and he's using us, whatever it is, for the work of his kingdom. And that's encouraging news, isn't it, folks? That is encouraging news that we're actually free to fail, that God can use it, whatever the circumstances are. What about if you say, well, I don't really like my job? You don't know, it's all very for you to say this, Mark, but you don't know what my job's like, you know, and actually I hate my job. Well, can I say first of all that we need to have a higher view, which hopefully I've communicated today, that it's not just a job. It's not just a job to pay some bills, but God has actually called us and work is part of what we're structured to do. And so the attitude comes into play here, that this work that we're doing is actually an opportunity to serve Christ. It's not just working through from Monday to Friday to pay the bills. It's actually a chance to be salt and light. It's actually to participate in the work of the kingdom. That completely changes our mindset when it comes to work. It completely changes it. But sometimes God calls us out of jobs. Sometimes things happen and things change. And I just need to share this, that I'm an engineer by profession and I've worked for a particular employer for 36 years. Loved the job. Loved it. Had a senior role there. And in March of this year, I was told that I was no longer required. Right. And that I had to exit. In other words, you know, to use a technical term, I got the sack. Right. And I've got to tell you, that wasn't a very pleasant experience. And there are other people in this congregation, there were a number in the first service who've had this experience where it gets a restructure and something happens and you're told you're no longer required. And a few things go through your mind. Where's God in this? Yeah. What am I going to do next? What happened? Where did I go wrong? What's wrong with me? All this stuff goes through your mind. But I've got to say, folks, that we have a loving God who cares for us, whose hand is upon us. And in my particular circumstances, a few people spoke to me after the first service, and similar things happened where you were suddenly told that no longer required. Well, 6 weeks later, after departing my previous employment, I was offered a new role, and it's a wonderful job, and God is very faithful. I want to say that if you're in that circumstance today, maybe you've had the news that you're no longer required in your particular employment. It is not the end of the world. God does not suddenly diminish his calling upon you. God loves you. He cares for you. He's a heavenly Father. He knows the number of hairs upon your head. A sparrow doesn't fall from a tree without God knowing about it. God knows about your circumstances. Can I encourage you that God's hand is upon your life? His hand is upon your life. So, folks, we have a God who is a worker. We're made in the image of God. He calls us out of darkness into light, but he calls us to a vocation. We have this tremendous opportunity to participate with the work of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit in the work of the kingdom as salt and light. He loves us tremendously. So whether you're just about to enter the workplace or whether you're now semi-retired and you're interacting with people down at the gym, you know, and you're salt and light in that circumstance. Whatever it is, whatever your circumstance here today, work is not something divorced from the kingdom of God. It's part of our lives. It's part of what the Father has planned for us. And you know, there's a wonderful verse the Bible says that when God calls us to something, he actually enables it to happen. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 24 says, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. And I often used to think that that was only exclusively available for overseas missionaries. You'd see it on photographs of a family that had gone to serve the Lord overseas, and you'd have 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 24, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. No, it's very applicable to overseas missionaries. It's also extremely applicable to you and I. When God calls us into something, he just doesn't call us into it and leave us to our own devices. No, God is faithful and he will enable us to undertake his calling through the power of his Spirit. So if you're in a work situation, you think, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Well, it's not just a fluke you're there. Call upon the name of the Lord. Ask God to fill you afresh with his Spirit. Ask God to give you his wisdom and his insight. As Steve was talking about, some of the decisions you've got to make as a policeman are quite stressful, and people here are in many stressful occupations. We can know a peace in the midst of that difficulty because God calls us and he enables us to follow his call. Be encouraged, folks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that as we're before you now, that your Spirit will continue to speak to us. Maybe there's some things that have been shared today that are challenging for us. Maybe we're not too sure about work and where we should go. Lord, we just entrust ourselves once again into your care. We thank you, Father, that you are a faithful God, that you touch us. We commit ourselves afresh to you. In Jesus' name, amen.